Amen. Let's bow in prayer, first of all, before we consider God's word. Let us pray that the Lord will come and give us a word in season tonight. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the privilege and the great honor it is to serve thee, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And O God, as we come tonight again to preach thy precious word, we pray, Lord, that you would fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you would help us only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. We thank thee for thy word. We know, Lord, that it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We know, Lord, that it's the entrance of thy word that giveth light. O God, we just pray now that you would bless us and speak to all of our hearts. And Lord, you know the need of every heart here tonight. We pray, O God, that you would meet each and every one at the very point of their need. Oh Lord, we pray for those in the meeting who are still strangers to grace and to God. Save them. And those of us who are saved, Lord, that you would bless us and encourage us in these days. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Please turn again to Acts chapter 10, that portion of scripture that we read earlier. Acts chapter 10 is a very important chapter, because in this chapter, God reveals his will concerning bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. Up until this time, the gospel was only preached to the Jews. But from Acts chapter 10, this was all going to change. In this chapter, we have the conversion of Cornelius. And of course, Cornelius was the first converted Gentile after the establishment of the New Testament church. He was a Roman centurion. And next week, God willing, we are going to look at the conversion of Cornelius in more detail. However, tonight I want to draw your attention very simply to how God revealed to the church his will to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. You and I are greatly privileged tonight because the Lord in his mercy, the Lord in his grace, sent the gospel to the Gentile nations. And you and I are Gentiles tonight. I don't think there's any Jews in the meeting this evening. Therefore, because of what happened in Acts chapter 10, you and I, by the grace of God, received the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the message of the gospel is still being preached to the Gentile nations right up to this very hour. And I pray this evening, as we come to consider this chapter and what it means for the Gentiles, that the Lord afresh will speak to all of our hearts and make us thankful for the mercy and the grace of God. First of all, I want you to notice the promise that was fulfilled. Throughout the Old Testament, the Lord had promised that someday the gospel would be preached to the Gentiles in all its fullness. Indeed, the purpose of God had always been to reach out in mercy to the Gentiles. And this can be seen clearly in many places in the Bible. I want you to keep your hand in Acts chapter 10, and I want you to turn over to the book of Isaiah for a moment, the prophecy of Isaiah. And I want you to look at some texts in the book of Isaiah. First of all, Isaiah chapter 11. And if you have a pen, you can write down these verses and then look at them later on at your ease. But look with me at Isaiah 11 and verse 10. All these verses that I'm going to read out indicate that God someday was going to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. He was going to send his servants to preach the message of the gospel to the Gentiles. Look at verse 10 of Isaiah 11. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. There's the promise. And his rest shall be glorious. Look at chapter 42. And take a look with me at some verses in Isaiah chapter 42. Again, this truth is emphasized here in this prophecy. In verse 1 of Isaiah 42, we read, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." And look at verse 6. "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." Underline those last words there. "For a light of the Gentiles." Look at verse 7. "To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." Then look at chapter 49 of Isaiah. Look at verse 6, the latter part of it. "I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." Look at verse 22. "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders." Look at chapter 60, verse 3. Underline this verse. We read these words, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Look at chapter 66 and verse 19. In that verse, we read these words, the latter part of it, "And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles." So in all these verses, we have the promise of God, what God's going to do in a future day. And what God is promising to do here is to bring the gospel to the Gentile nations. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 28. And it's a very familiar portion of scripture. But here we have the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we can see here the Lord Jesus making this promise to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Look what it says here. "Indeed, this is what he commands his disciples before he went home to heaven." Look at Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations," underline it, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Teach all nations. And of course, we're familiar with that wonderful text. We have considered it even in this study, Acts 1 verse 8, where the Lord says to his disciples, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." What wonderful promises we have here concerning the spread of the gospel to the Gentiles. Therefore, in Acts chapter 10, we're getting back now to Acts chapter 10, the promise of God is in bringing the gospel to the Gentiles is beginning to be fulfilled when God saved Cornelius and all who were in his house. Now, that's what we read tonight. And what a tremendous chapter we have here in this book of Acts. And we're going to see more about the conversion of Cornelius, as I have said, next Lord's Day. We're going to look at it in more detail. But what we have here is Peter going to the home of Cornelius. And of course, Cornelius was the Gentile. And all those that were gathered in his house that day, they were Gentiles. And as Peter preached the message of the gospel, they were saved by the grace of God. Just take a look at Acts chapter 11 for a moment. And look with me there at verse 18. And you'll read these words. "When they heard these things," in other words, when the apostles heard that the gospel had been brought to the Gentiles through the preaching of Peter in the home of Cornelius, they held their peace. They glorified God, saying, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." In other words, the promise of God was fulfilled. You see, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not only for the Jew. Now, it is also for the Jew. But it's not only for the Jew. It's for the Gentile, for you and me. The gospel is to be preached in all nations, in all countries. And thank God, that's the invitation of the gospel. Whosoever. And that whosoever means Jew or Gentile. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And here in Acts chapter 10, we have the evidence of that taking place, and we have the fulfillment of all those Old Testament prophecies being fulfilled, beginning to be fulfilled. Peter going and preaching Christ in all his fullness, and as he uplifted the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the home of Cornelius, Cornelius and his family and those who he had gathered into his house that day received the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. My friend, if you're not saved tonight, the gospel is for you. You're a Gentile. You're outside the fold of the Jewish nation. We're all Gentiles tonight. But thank God the gospel is for us. And that means this evening that if you call upon the Lord and ask him to be your Savior and cry unto him in faith and in repentance to forgive you for your sins, thank God he will save you tonight and he will redeem you for time and for eternity. You may not know much about the Bible. You may not be able to quote two or three verses from the Scriptures. You may know little about the saving grace of God. But the truth is this, if you understand that you're the sinner on your way to hell and that Jesus died for you and you believe that, praise God tonight, you can find eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God is no respecter of persons. And that's the wonderful blessing of the message of the gospel. Is any wonder that Paul said on one occasion, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, also to the Gentile." And praise God, that's the message that we have to declare tonight, and it's the message of the Bible, and it's the message of Christ. And I pray this evening that you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Even the Gentile can be saved and make peace with God and have a home in heaven. But notice something else here. Take a look at this chapter again, Acts chapter 10. And I want you to notice the preparation that was required. Not only the promise that was fulfilled, but the preparation that was required. You see, as we have said, before the gospel could be preached to the Gentiles, Peter and the rest of the Jewish Christians had to be convinced that this was the way forward for the church of Christ at this time. Peter was a Jew by birth. Therefore, the Gentiles would have been regarded as unclean. And Peter says as much here in this chapter. And although Peter had trusted Christ as his Savior, he was still bound by many Jewish beliefs. As far as Peter was concerned, the Messiah was the Savior of the Jews. Therefore, Peter, along with the other Jewish Christians, had to be prepared concerning the gospel being preached and received by the Gentiles. His attitude and thinking towards the Gentiles had to be changed. But how was this going to happen? Well, it happens in this chapter that we have read. God did this by giving Peter a vision. And of course, we read of this vision from Acts chapter 10, verses 9 to 17. Now, we're not going to read all those verses again, but you take the time to read them when you go home. In this portion of Scripture, Peter receives a vision of animals being lowered from heaven to earth in a sheet. These animals, as far as Peter was concerned, being a Jew, they were unclean animals. And God in the vision commanded Peter to eat the animals.
But Peter refused because the Old Testament law commanded the Jews not to eat anything that was unclean. Now, what was the purpose of this vision? What was the message in the vision? Simply this: God was revealing to Peter that the time had come for him as a Jew to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, who before were counted as unclean in the sight of God. Look at verse 15. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." And the Lord here was preparing Peter. He was revealing something to Peter. He was revealing that God now wanted Peter and the rest of the apostles to bring this message of saving grace to the Gentile nations. Now, Peter already knew that sooner or later this would have to happen. But in this chapter, Acts chapter 10, and that's why it is a chapter that is so important when it comes to the spread of the gospel, when it comes to bringing the message of saving grace to the Gentile nations. Here we can see God speaking to Peter and revealing his will to Peter. Of course, other events were happening to prepare the way for the gospel to be brought to the Gentiles. Many of the Jews had rejected the message of Christ. We read that in Acts 4, verse 3 and 21. As the message of the gospel was going forth, many of the Jews had no time for this message. And also, of course, there was the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Acts 9, Paul was the man who in the main was used to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And we're going to see that as we continue studying the book of Acts. So there was other things happening to prepare the way for the gospel to be spread among the Gentile nations. So you can see here how the Lord was preparing the church in the book of Acts to fulfill his will. And thank God for the fulfilling of his word. Because if the gospel had not been brought to the Gentiles, you and I would not have been saved. You and I would not have had the opportunity to hear the message of the gospel and be saved by God's grace. Can you see the importance of this chapter? Can you see the grace of God here, and the mercy of God, and the goodness of God to this world? Is it any wonder that we often quote that tremendous verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, let me say again, if you're in this meeting and you're not saved, you may think the gospel is not for you, but the gospel is for you. You may think that you could never be saved, but the truth is you can be saved. And while the gospel was initially preached to the Jews, the day came when God said, the gospel must now be preached to the Gentiles. The gospel must now be presented to the nations of the world. Oh, my friend, you tonight can make peace with God. You can tonight can have your sins forgiven. You tonight can escape hell. You tonight can prepare for heaven. Why? Because the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, is for you. And thank God it is for me. And that's the mercy of God. And we can see here in Acts chapter 10 how God fulfilled the promise that he had made in the Old Testament. And we can see here how he prepared Peter and the rest of the apostles to accept this wonderful happening. How he spoke to his servant. And how, through the conversion of Cornelius and his family and those that were in his house, how the Lord had opened up the door to bring the message of saving grace to the world. Now, let us take a look, thirdly, at the power that was demonstrated. Now, take a look at verse 44 and 45. While Peter yet spake these words, after Peter had preached to them, and of course, when you read the verses prior to verse 44, Peter preaches Christ. He uplifts the Savior, and of course, as we found out this morning, that's the only message for the Gentiles. That's the only message for the Jews. That's the only message for this world. Christ and Him crucified. Christ and Him resurrected. Christ and Him glorified. It's Christ and Christ alone. And after Peter presented to Cornelius and all who were gathered in his house this wonderful message of saving grace in Jesus Christ, it says this: the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Now underline that. They heard the word. My friend, if we want God's blessing in the church, if we want God's blessing in this land of ours, we must preach the word. It's through the foolishness of preaching Christ, that men are saved. And that's what's happening here. Peter's preaching the word. And as he preaches the word, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Look at verse 45. And they of the circumcision, in other words, the Jews that had come with Peter, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, if there was any doubt in Peter's mind after the vision that he received, then when he reached the home of Cornelius and seen the power of God demonstrated in the lives of the Gentiles in Cornelius's home, then all doubts would have been removed. So convinced was Peter and the other Jews that God had now reached out to the Gentiles that they commanded them to be baptized after their conversion, after they trusted Christ as their Savior, after the Holy Spirit entered into them and they were born of God. That's what it means there. They were born from above. They experienced the new birth. They were baptized. And of course, as we have emphasized in the course of these studies, baptism is an outward showing of an inward work done in the heart. It's letting the world know that you're now a Christian, that you're now a child of God. What do we learn here? Well, we learn a number of things. First of all, we learn that God always keeps His word. God kept His word and brought the gospel to the Gentiles. And you know, men and women, the truth is this, that when God makes a promise, He always keeps His promise. He always keeps His promise. And what has He promised the sinner that calls upon the Lord for salvation? He promises them eternal salvation. He promises them everlasting life. Is that not what the Bible teaches in the gospel? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He that believeth on the Son hath life and will have life eternal. Eternal life. And that's what God promises you tonight if you come and put your faith and trust in Him as your own and personal Savior. My, just as God kept His word in bringing the gospel to the Gentiles, He will keep His word if you call upon Him and ask Him to save you. He will save you tonight. This very night, He will give you everlasting life. He will prepare your soul for heaven because God keeps His word. Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hand. God keeps His word. And my friend, that's the message I want you to get from this sermon tonight. God keeps His word. God will keep His word to you if you trust Him. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Something else we learn here. God is a merciful God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When the Lord opened up the Gentile nations to the gospel and sent forth Peter and later Paul and the rest of the apostles to go and present Christ in all His fullness to the nations of this world, God was being merciful. And you know, the Lord is a merciful Savior. He's a merciful Savior. And tonight he loves you. Doesn't love your sin, but he loves you. And he wants to give you everlasting life. In Acts chapter 10, when God spoke to Peter and revealed to Peter, I want you now to go to the Gentiles, that was the mercy of God. That was the grace of God being demonstrated to the world. God's mercy is being demonstrated to you tonight. You're found in this meeting and you're not a Christian. You're not saved. And yet you're here and you're listening to the message of the gospel. And as you listen to the message of the gospel, you can see the grace of God, because he wants to save you and give you everlasting life. Turn over with me just for a moment to Romans chapter 10. Here we have the Apostle Paul, and look what Paul says here. This is a tremendous promise that we have here in this portion of Scripture. If you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, I want you to listen to these words very carefully. Look what it says in Romans 10, verse 11 to 13. Underline these words. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. My friend, you'll never be ashamed coming to Christ. You'll never be let down coming to the Savior. If you come to him and put your trust in him tonight, he will save you for all eternity, and he'll never fail you. That's what the verse means. Whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference, look at verse 12, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, or the Jew or the Gentile. For the same Lord over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. Do you see that? If you call upon the Lord tonight, he'll save you. Doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek or the Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. In other words, if you call, he will give you all the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, praise God tonight. This wonderful salvation that was first preached to the Jews, that was first promised to the Jews, is now preached to you and me, is now promised to you and me. And when the Jew got saved in those days, God blessed them with all the spiritual blessings in Christ. And he'll do the same now for the Gentile. You know, the Bible says, indeed the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Look again at Matthew 28. We read some of the verses, but look at verse 19 again and verse 20. You see, the truth is this, that right up until the Lord Jesus comes back again, this gospel will go forth to all nations. And many, many thousands of Gentiles have yet to be saved. And I believe also many thousands of Jews have to be saved as well. But look what it says there in 18 and 19 of Matthew 6. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. We have already read that verse. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. That literally means, that last phrase literally means, even unto the end of the age. In other words, this gospel will continue to be preached right up until Jesus Christ comes back again. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Isn't that a tremendous text of Scripture? Oh, preachers come and preachers go. God's servants live and God's servants die. But in every age, in every generation, no matter what's going on in this world, no matter how hard the devil attacks the church of Christ, there'll be someone standing in a pulpit are standing on a street corner proclaiming the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ until the end of the age, and Christ will be with his people right to the end. And this message will continue. And all nations will hear of Jesus, the mighty to save. Oh, my friend, if you're not saved tonight, come to the Savior. Come and trust him now. Turn from your sin. He loves you. And he wants to give you everlasting life. He sent his Son to die upon a cross in order to save you. And his Son not only died upon that cross, but the Lord Jesus rose again triumphantly. And thank God, because he lives, you can live also. That's the gospel. He died, he rose again. He ever lives. He's coming again. I wonder, will you be prepared for his coming? Will you be prepared to meet him? Will you be ready when the trumpet sounds? If not, my friend, make that preparation tonight. If you're not prepared, make that preparation tonight. Let us all pray.